it is really important for us to go back to the spirit of our faith and see that it's young people that drove our faith. And we need to work on our spirituality and do that model behavior with younger people. So
this is the podcast Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, but partial.
Walks the talks, then it's Anwar from Islamic Relief. So Anwar, could you please introduce yourself?
Thank you, Maurice. My name is Anwar Khan, and I am the president and co-founder of Islamic Relief USA.
Can you tell a little bit about what you do?
I'll start with our name. Islamic, we are inspired by our faith, but we work with people and help people of all faith and no faith. Relief, because we started doing relief work, humanitarian work in some of the most dangerous places in the world, but also we do sustainable development work as well. USA, we're very proud to be from the USA, but we're part of a network with 40 partners with the same name around the world, and we work in many other countries. So some of the cool projects that we do that years ago that you would not expect us to do, for example, I remember years ago we did a robotics camp with kids from the inner city of Baltimore and helped to sponsor that. Another thing that we do on MLK Day, the way that we celebrate MLK Day is a day of service. All of our staff have to volunteer for other organizations. And sometimes they go to the pediatric wing in some hospitals in New Jersey, your home state, and in New York, and they read stories, which you might not be expecting. Another one is our e-toy drive, where it's similar to Christmas. We give out toys, but the toys we're giving are to all kids of all different faiths and backgrounds. And I remember in Oklahoma City, the Muslim doctors insisted their toys being that they raised funds for were given to the terminal patients in their pediatric wing. So this is really heartbreaking stuff. In the remote parts of Pakistan, we're helping people to see with removing cataracts from their eyes. In Bangladesh, we're empowering women to have a stronger voice in their say in the work that they do with this livelihood projects we do. We found in one area where we went that their capital increased 700%. We did financial literacy classes to them. We helped to organize NGO. 4 years later, they have their own NGO, which is split off separate from us. We're not doing low interest loans. We're not doing interest free loans. We're giving them grants to start their own businesses. This is amazing work that we do. We also work with our partners, for example, CRS, Catholic Relief Services. In South America, there are two go whenever there's a problem over there. And we're working with our Jewish colleagues, Hayas, Hebrew Immigration Aid Service. There's a law firm, which is mostly Christian, Islamic Relief, which is Muslim, a Jewish relief agency called Hayas. We're working to help refugees in Lesbos, Greece. So what I love what we do isn't that we just help refugees and help people in need, but we do it with our brothers and sisters of different backgrounds. So we're not just helping the hungry people, we're building bridges between different communities and between individuals and between their hearts.
Wow. Yeah. No, and I really love the fact that you lift that up and, the organizations with different faith backgrounds working together. I think that's so inspirational. Anwar, that in 2012, I decided to, to start doing this 100-mile walk and especially to try to raise awareness about hunger and poverty and other issues. But what would drive you to walk 100-mile? What drives you in life? We have heard about Islamic Relief, but what drives you as an individual?
first of all, you inspire me. Okay, I'm only doing 5 miles a walk. One of the reasons I'm walking so much is because you embarrassed me the first time that we were at the training together. You were on the front, I was on the rear guard. I couldn't keep up with you. Now, later on, you and me both know, we don't have to go into detail, I had some health issues. So a 100-mile walk probably is not what the doctor would allow me to do. But right now, you'll be proud of me. I'm doing 5 miles a day, okay? So that's a lot more than before because of the gyms are closed. Now, what I am dreaming of doing something, maybe not 100 miles, but a lot more than what I'm doing. And what would drive me is, I think, the same thing that's driving you, I believe, is to make the world a better place. It's to bring attention to people who are being ignored. It's to fight poverty by doing our own actions, by taking the pain of others and putting the pain, I would normally say, in our own shoulders. In your case, in your shoulder, in your back, on your legs, all your whole body's probably aching after 100 miles. So this is, in my opinion, a wonderful thing. In Christianity, you have this concept of accompaniment, that you feel the pain of others and God is with you. We have that in Islam too. So you are literally walking the walk for 100 miles. So something like that would inspire me. Now, my colleagues and I are, by the way, they don't do the 100-mile walk. Instead, they are cycling around Spain, hiking in Peru. They went to different places, Kilimanjaro, base camp of Everest. Same concept as what you're doing. And my opinion is, it's not about just the amount of money that one raises, but it is about bringing awareness to the cause in a fun way. We all, I believe, give money. But when somebody does an activity, it moves us away from our comfort zone. That if Maurice can walk 100 miles, the least I can do is give some money. But maybe I need to do a little bit more as well. So that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And if you're asking what drives me, service. When I had a cardiac arrest a few years ago, I felt like I was going to die. I realized I was, at that time, I was 46. And I was very optimistic. I did a quick audit of my life and I only saw the good things. On hindsight, I didn't see any mistakes I did. I was focusing on the good things. Okay, I felt like it was a drowning sensation when I had my cardiac arrest. I'm in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. Okay, and as you know, if you're alone in a hotel room like I was, 90% death chance, only 10% survival rate of a cardiac arrest. So I feel like I'm drowning and I'm doing an audit. I'm seeing all of the things I did in my life and what I've done. And I thought I've lived a few lifetimes, yeah? So I was okay with that. And the pain was immense and the drowning sensation. So I realized that, you know, it might be the time to go. Then I saw the pictures of my loved ones and my family. And then I was having a discussion with God, asking God, can I have your permission to come back? Because I don't want to put my family in the same position I was in when my dad died when he was 52 in my arms and I was 13. So one of the things that drives me is for family. The second thing I saw was the images of kids from Srebrenica, where I was the day before. Images of kids from Rakhine State in Myanmar, where I was 10 days, I think, before. Images of kids from Sri Lanka, where I was 4 or 5 days before. And images of kids from the different countries I had visited for the previous, at that stage, I think about 24 years. And I asked permission, can I come back? I don't think I've done enough for them. So this is what drives me. I know it sounds really silly, but this is what drives me. Initially, I graduated from University of Birmingham in England when I was 22. Mm-hmm. And it drove me to come to America to serve others and to make the world a better place. And then with the heart attack, the coronary attack, that really, when you think you may die, that really reminds you why you're still here. Mm-hmm. So I believe I'm on extra time. God gave me permission to come back to continue the work that I wanted to do. You know what I wasn't thinking about? How big my house was, mm-hmm. what nice car I had. I wasn't thinking about my clothes. I wasn't thinking about materialism. It's just very interesting. And if you had asked me beforehand, what would you be thinking about when I don't know if I could answer that question. Mm-hmm. So some people have, they see a light. I don't think I got that far. Some people see the light. I just questioned myself mm-hmm. and asked permission myself, and I came back. And when I was brought back, they had to basically use the paddles on me to electrocute me, and then they had to do CPR. And then the people who did surgery on me, it was an interfaith effort. I had a Sikh specialist doctor. I had people who were, he was British, but the doctors were from Pakistani background, Muslims, who were working with the Sikh doctor. And all the nurses were Christians from, I think, Roman Catholic, from Spain and mm-hmm. from Ireland. And this happened in London. So what also drives me isn't just to help these people now, it's to work with my brothers and sisters of different colors, faiths, mm-hmm. and background. Because I wouldn't be here today without the grace of God mm-hmm. and without people from males, females, different backgrounds, all coming in to help me. So I don't want to hear about religion.
Wow. That's a powerful and profound experience. And thanks for sharing that, Anwar. One of the things that you know, we are trying to deal with as an organization is also, you know, how do we connect with the younger generation? And then I've heard some people within our organization, but also in other faith-based organizations saying, well, you know, the issue around that we are less connecting is because the younger generation is less religious or less spiritual. I would like to ask you, what are your thoughts about that? What do you see happening? And is there indeed a change with the younger generation or not?
I was really surprised again. Many times I answer different questions, but this was one of the most thoughtful questions that I've been asked for a long, long time. I've been in America 27 years. And I have seen a change of religiosity in America. I've seen it in the 27 years. Now, I grew up in England, which I was not, in my opinion, that religious a place. It's really confusing. And what I believe is that sometimes when you have established religion, you take people's religion and spirituality for granted. And I think that's a mistake. So I grew up as a Muslim in a Christian nation, which was Britain. Then I moved over here in America, even though they may not say they're a Christian nation, and they say the separation of church and state. I see more outwardly religion, but inside I was concerned about the spirituality. So what I'm really concerned about when I'm dealing with many of my Christian colleagues from different humanitarian organizations, the church numbers are decreasing. As the church numbers are decreasing, the regular attendance, they're worried that the number of donors in the future will affect their organizations. For us in the Muslim community here in America, we are very young. When I was in Islamic Relief, I joined at the age of 22, and I was the second oldest person in the organization at the age of 22. The oldest was 24, okay? Now, I'm one of the oldest staff in Islamic Relief at the age of 49. Most of my staff are in their 20s. A lot of Muslims are young people, and we try to get them involved. We work with the Red Cross, we love them. The average age of their volunteer is 65. These are people who go to churches, these are people who volunteer with the Red Cross. The average age of our volunteer on a deployment is 22. So we, from the beginning, I felt Islamic Relief was a vehicle to bring people of faith closer to God. by helping others of all faith and no faith. I believe that telling people what's halal and haram, what's haram, haram means in Arabic prohibited. Halal means allowed. We need to be careful of telling our kids always, you can't do this, you can't do that, without telling them what you can do. Many of the companions around the Prophet Muhammad were young people. Many of the companions around Jesus were young people. It is really important for us to go back to the spirit of our faith and see that it's young people that drove our faith. And we need to work on our spirituality and do that model behavior with younger people. So my kids, for example, are involved, but not like I was involved. And that's cool. I was a student activist at university doing things that was Muslim. My kids aren't so much involved, but they do amazing work, which is different than what I do. My daughter is much more into reading and teaching the Quran than I was. So she has some, and some of my kids have more traditional opinions than I do. So I'm liberal than some of the opinions, I'm conservative on others. So what I would say is, I am concerned that the number one God in this country is materialism. I am concerned that we're selfish. I am concerned that religions that claim that they are for moral values are not practicing that. And our kids are seeing the hypocrisy of that. And the kids are rebelling against that. But what they're going to, I believe, is not better than what they've left. So, and I believe that they will find, they need to find peace. And I want our kids to find peace. So I would say that spirituality and lack of religiosity is an issue, but I'm blaming us, Maurice, our generation and our parents' generation, for not doing a better job of showing the beauty and the love and the compassion of faith, talking too much about the punishment and not enough about the love and the compassion. And Maurice, you grew up around Muslims, you hang around Muslims, so you know we don't just talk about love of God, we talk about fear of God. And in some Eastern religions, they use yin and yang. And from an Islamic concept, I was told at a young age, don't talk about the punishment of the hellfire without talking about the rewards of the heaven. So I feel that we don't want to just talk about the bad things. We don't just want to talk about the good things. We want to have a balance in life. And I believe that the work of Islamic Relief, the work of Church World Services and similar organizations, we need to work with these young people to give them an opportunity to practice their faith and their spirituality. Feeding people is very spiritual. Breaking bread with people is very spiritual. Going on pilgrimage is great. Absolutely. Go. But then bring that spirit back with you. When you walk your 100 miles, you are walking in the spirit of a higher power. To me, that's very spiritual. When you see the birds fly, when you hear the insects and you see life around you, you know? So I would say that there is organized religion and then there is faith. Faith in God, loving God, organized religion is meant to help us. Sometimes it may hinder us. Sometimes we are too busy with the rituals, which are important, but we forget the spirit behind the rituals. And our kids are being told all the time at school, me, 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 my. What's in it for me? You need to love me unconditionally. I can do the most horrific things, but you need to love me because I'm special. I believe in the rights of people, but I believe in the obligations of the community. So we have to believe in our rights, but we have to serve others. How do we do that through our spirituality? How do we do that through our faith?
You know, Anwar, I always learn so much when I talk with you, and I'm I'm thrilled now that because of this, we are able to share it with a wider community as well. So yeah, you're so eloquent and able to articulate it properly. So thank you for that. And also thank you for everything you do. I mean, you're really an inspiration. You know, considering what is going on at the moment in the world, this pandemic, you know, racial injustice, a lot of issues. What is the what would be a message for you for the people listening to this today?
Hope. Have hope. Charles Dickens wrote, "It was the best of times and it was the worst of times." I see that where we are now. We are in tremendous pain. We are in different loss. But other times there's tremendous joy right now. So in this particular year, this is the time when we step up in our faith. Please go to your church, go to your synagogue, go to your mosque, go wherever, but find that place in your heart right now. Take care of yourself. Practice that self-care. Only you can do that. You can't help others, Maurice, if you don't help yourself. So everyone, please dig deep spiritually into what you can do. Support amazing organizations if you can, like your organization, Church World Services. I'm talking to people as the president of Islamic Relief. I'm asking you to please support the amazing work of Church World Service. To me, they implement the parts of the Bible that I think are amazing, about helping the stranger, about helping the needy. So I would say, at a time when we are worried about our income, trust God. Give what you can out of love, not out of fear, out of love. Give it with others, EWS and others, who are trying to help people who have been turned away everywhere else. When you give, God will give you more.
Thank you, Anwar. As always, it was a pleasure.